This year at Williamsburg, we've been reading through the Bible and or the great chapters or New Testament and Psalms, I guess, to be exact. And a few weeks ago, I came across this psalm that I just, as I read it, I thought that's so fitting for our anniversary time at camp. And it's the 48th psalm. And I'd just like to read that together with you. And I remember back in the 70s, I guess, and 80s when I was a camper. Is Brother Carl here? Yeah. He's hiding. He's trying to hide there in the boy in the back. But we used to have guitars in the village. And, you know, we sang, we worshiped with guitars. So I don't know. But one of the songs that we sang was the 47th chapter and the 48th chapter, the first verse is, "Oh, clap your hands, all you people." You remember that, Brother Carl? Yes. "Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." We still sing that occasionally. And then it begins in chapter 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there in pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah." "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And I just thought, this is, I think, what we're doing in these days. So many of the verses here speak to our anniversary time. In his devotional book, Awake My Heart, Sidlow Baxter, he takes these verses and applies them to the Christian church and how the towers are the doctrines, the great doctrines of the Christian faith, and the bulwarks are the things that make her strong, and the palaces are the things that are delightful in the kingdom of God. But I'd like to just take the liberty, if I could tonight, just to maybe apply some of these thoughts to Pilgrim Camp. To Pilgrim Camp. And the blessing that God has made this place, the place where he dwells. Could we say it's the city of the great king? I think I've heard in this place that Zion is where Jesus is king. And so Zion is not some place we may say, well, that's heaven. Well, no, it's wherever Jesus reigns, where Jesus is king. It's the city of the great king. And so if Jesus is reigning, then we're marching to Zion. I think we've somehow approximated that here over these years, a place where God dwells, where he's king, where it's holiness unto the Lord. But in these last few verses, it says here, "Let walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof." I think in these days we'll have testimony of what a blessing a camp has been to many. And Sister Ruth already has shared with us the blessings of this place. And so I just thought about the towers. What are the towers? What are the things that we have heard over the years that have been a blessing to us. You know, in our text for this camp season, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. That's the first thing. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. And so what has been spoken to us from God's word? I thought of this reading that we had tonight, the grace of God. It begins there, doesn't it? God's grace is available to us. I didn't read the second part. I'll read it now. It's grow in grace. Not only receive grace, but grow in grace. God wants us to look for Jesus. We look for him as we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I can know you better, Jesus. I can find you today in a greater way. And that was something that Uncle Edwin had said. And so it begins with the grace of God, and it's not grace that allows us to live carelessly and we say, well, God's grace will cover that sin. No, it's a grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness, to live holy lives. And that's the grace that was preached and taught in this place. You know, grace is Jesus coming to us. Can we really separate grace from the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus comes to us. We receive his grace, but it's a grace to make us holy people. And that holiness has been a theme, and so we have the call to holiness. You can't escape it when you come to Pilgrim Camp. There's a highway. It's the way of holiness. We want to walk in that way. And so the grace of God leads us into this way of holiness. And then holiness leads us to fellowship with God. I remember hearing a message by Uncle Hans, and there he talks about that scene at Mount Sinai where God called out to them, "Be holy as I am holy." And why was it? Why does he call for us to be holy? Because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to approach him, and the only way that we can approach this God and live in communion and union with him is if we're holy, if we're walking in holiness. And then there's this thought of fellowship with God. We've been called into the fellowship of his Son. Hallelujah. Oh, wondrous bliss, oh, joy sublime, I have Jesus with me all the time. Companionship with Jesus. Have we learned to walk in fellowship with him day by day, moment by moment? Another thought that stands out as a tower is this thought of being a vessel. Did you ever hear that at camp? That we're vessels? That we're vessels? When Jesus first sets vessels to love him, he wants them to see him all the time. And vessels are nothing, but they're in the hand of the Master, and he wants us to be empty so he can fill us. How well have we taken that to heart? Are we vessels unto honor? Meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And then this last thought of the things that we've heard here in this place, and it's Christ in you. It's right there. Christ lives in me. Isn't that wonderful? Christ lives in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives in me. And so these are the towers that we want to consider in these days. Consider her towers. These are the things that have been spoken to us. Our leaders have spoke the word of God to us. Receive his grace. Walk in holiness. Enjoy fellowship with God. Be a vessel unto honor. And recognize that Christ is in you. Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Now, what are the things that make us or make camp strong? What are the bulwarks? What are the defenses? And it seems maybe I think the strength, the defense is in the fact that we're depending upon Jesus for everything. That's the way our leaders lived. complete dependence upon Jesus. Without him, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that the thought of depending upon God and for everything led them to pray. Our sister Collis reminded us of that, the importance of prayer and of waiting on God, just waiting upon our God. I believe that camp is here 70 years later because people have prayed and prayed through, persevered in prayer, weren't satisfied with maybe praying once about something, but praying until the answer came. And so we want to follow in that, in praying. We want camp to be a place of prayer. And we want to continue to depend upon Jesus in everything. That's where our strength is. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so there were lives that were lived in humility before us. If you want to be great, learn to be a servant. Humble yourself. And then there was this thought of consecration. Consecration. We sang, "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord." I think we can say their way of life. The verse says there, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life." I think their way of life was a way of consecration, given completely to God. And I trust that we too have made that choice to be all for him. I had this Ridgewood Pentecostal 90th anniversary CD in the car today. And so I put it in and was listening to the sermons. And there was a little story given there about maybe you know this story. If you've now, see, I'm going to see how many of you listen to the CD. The story about involvement versus commitment. Anybody? I see some smiles. So it's the story of involvement versus commitment, and Uncle Edwin told the story of this chicken and the pig who wanted to help meet the need of a hungry group of people. And so they kind of were talking to one another, and the chicken said, "Well, why don't we make ham and eggs for them tomorrow for breakfast?" Right? And so so the pig thought about that a minute, and he wasn't so eager. The hen could just give the egg, but the pig had to give his life. And so there was the difference between involvement and true commitment or consecration. So are you committed? Are you consecrated to the Lord? And then there were lives that were filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's where the strength is. We depend upon him for everything, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And then the last thing is this thought of the palaces. We've considered the towers and the bulwarks, the things that have made it strong, but the palaces, and when I think of the palaces, you know, it's a place of safety. It's a place where we find rest. And I truly think that camp has been that over the years. Well, people have come and been able to just rest in the Lord and find rest unto their souls and be refreshed and to feed upon the finest of the wheat. I can remember the teachings again. Brother Gordon was such a wonderful Bible a teacher. You could listen to him for hours, and he could just expound the Word of God, just sit there and have his Bible open, expound the Word of God. And our brother Bob Collis as well made a very impacted my life during those the days that Brother Bob and Sister Ruth were the directors here. But then I had to also think that the palace is a place of, again, of beauty. And we're told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But what is it that makes camp a beautiful place? What is it, if I ask you, what is it that makes camp a place where people want to be? What is it? Right. It has to come down to that. I think we have a beautiful spot here on Brant Lake. I don't think we could ask for a better spot. But that's not what draws people to Pilgrim Camp. I believe it's the fact that the presence of God has been manifest. That it's Jehovah Shammah. God is here. God is present. And because God is present, there's a drawing. People who are hungry for the Lord are able to find him. And so we want to treasure this little piece of Zion that we call Pilgrim Camp. And we want to consider the towers and mark well the bulwarks and delight in the palace, the fact that God is here. God is in the palace. The King dwells there. And so what is our responsibility? What is our response to this? Well, at the end of the chapter it says this, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." And so we want God to have his way in this place. I don't know if there'll be another 70 years. Jesus may come. And I don't think then we'll need Pilgrim Camp. But until then, we want to continue. And tell the generation following. We need to pass this on. And I think that's our responsibility. The people in this room, you, who have come, who have been with camp for so many years. We need to tell the generation following that this God is our God. He's the same. And that's how our verse ends. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Imitate or consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. And it ends this way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so do we believe that what God did in the past, he can do again? Is he the same? Yes. And so we have to have that faith that God is going to manifest himself in an ever-increasing way. And we need to believe that God will keep his light in this place. It's only because of God's grace and his spirit that sustains this work. And so we want to be able again to pass this on to the generation following. This is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's just bow our heads. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have been faithful. And Lord, you remain faithful. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the lights that have shined in this place, the word of God that has been spoken, the lives that have been lived before us, the godly examples that we have been privileged to know. I pray, Lord, that we would continue, that each of us would continue in the light that you have given, and that you would cause those lights to increase in our own hearts. Lord Jesus, we want to be consecrated. We want to be spirit-filled. We want to walk humbly with our God. We want to be able to pass on to the generation following a legacy, a heritage that they can safely follow. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, in these days, as we have this time together, that you would work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, establish your work. Establish your work in this place. Again, we thank you for Pilgrim Camp. We thank you that you are here, Lord. Jesus, we pray that your presence would continue to be manifest in this place, that we would truly live holiness unto the Lord, that we would walk carefully before you. endeavoring to please you in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And so we do give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say to us in these days, what the Spirit has to say. Give us hearing ears unto that end, Lord, and take your rightful place. You formed us for your own abode. Live out your life within us. Jesus, we realize that we cannot work those works that please the Father, only you as one who is dwelling in us. And so we trust you to take greater place in our lives. And as we earlier sang, Jesus, take charge. Holy anointing, take charge of us. And find in us your dwelling, your home. We ask these things in your precious name. And everyone says, Amen. Amen.
Now, I know a number of us maybe are a little bit tired, and that's understandable from the travels of today. But we'd like to just give time to wait upon God if you so desire. And so I just ask if you go from this place, or as you go from this place, that you would go quietly so that those who would like to just remain can do that and seek the Lord. So the Lord bless you. And let's continue to believe for his working in these days. I'm sure he has something very wonderful for each of us. And so God bless you, and let's go to prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.